Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome, everyone, to this evening live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in good old Randallstown, Maryland. Yes. I just finished addressing the church right now. And if in case you're wondering, I've been saying this for a little while now, but there are still some doubts. If in case you are wondering why we're not starting at the top of the hour, it's because we're busy worshiping the Lord. All right? We are worshiping God. We are praising Him. Yes. And of course, needless to say, we are open. I have spoken to a couple of people this week, just this week alone, who did not know that we were open. So I called them up. Hey, how's it going? Everything's still all right? Haven't seen you in a while. Just want to make sure you're okay. Just want to let you know that we're open. Oh, really? Yes, we are open. And just to make it clear, I am not requiring you to wear a mask. You're welcome. Praise God. I am encouraging the use of a mask, but I'm not making it mandatory. And one of the things that I promised very early on is I'm not going to look at you funny. I won't look down on you. Okay, you're not going to get reprimanded. No, not at all. By all means, we're in God's house. I feel safe in God's house. I do. And it takes a special relationship with God for you to do certain things to where so you're going to feel comfortable. There's different levels of faith. Some people will put their necks out there, I mean really go off on a limb, on the deep end, and someone else might look at them and think that they are crazy, that they just lost it. But that's their faith. That's the confidence that they have in their God. And mine is that I feel very confident being in my Father's house. And specifically, let me just make clear the air here, in my Heavenly Father's house. Okay, God the Father, our Father's house. I feel safe. But I'm not judging anybody else. Some people are still playing it safe. They don't want to come. They want to practice social distancing. They are in this field and in that field, and they're caretakers, and they do all of this. We respect that. And guess what? We still love you. We still love you. There is no judgment here. Okay? I will offer you, however, a word of encouragement. Come worship in the house of God. Come worship with us. Be blessed. You don't have to be rubbing elbows with the person next to you. You don't have to be side by side with everybody. If you don't want to hug anybody, if you don't want a handshake, I'm giving elbow bumps to people here, you know. People are giving me elbow bumps. It's okay. We can do the footsie. We can do the elbow bumps. If you want to do a chest bump, I'll do a chest bump with you. It's okay. It's all right. Come and worship with us. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Let us not operate on a spirit of doubt. This past Sunday morning, I went into depth speaking about the spirit of fear. And one might say, it's not fear. It's not fear at all. Don't be offended. Don't be offended about certain things that I'm saying. I'm not calling people scary cats. I'm not saying that your faith is lacking or none of the above. No, not at all. Your walk with God is between you and your God. All that I'm saying, come worship with us. Come to the house of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, without any further ado, let us dive in the Word, shall we? Amen. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you so much.
Yes, Lord.
And we exalt your holy name. You are worthy to be praised. And Lord, there is no other place, there is no better place than to be in your house, Lord. Like David said, than 1,000 elsewhere. There are 1,000 other places out there in the world, Lord, that we could be, but there is no better place than in your presence. In your presence, Lord. And we exalt you and we praise you that we have this beautiful, wonderful house that you have blessed us with, Lord. That we can come and worship you and feel your presence and feel your love and be touched and walk out, Lord, differently than when we walked in. We thank you for this, Lord. We don't take advantage of it. We don't take it for granted is what I'm trying to say, Lord. May we all take advantage of it, Lord, for the honor and glory of your name. Thank you, Lord, for all of those watching this right now. Bless them, Lord, tremendously. May they see you. May they hear you, Lord, not me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I generally don't like to stretch out the Bible studies. Bible studies, to me, I find it, I like to look at them as, just like everything else, but particularly Bible studies, I like for them to be fun. When you come to a Bible study, I'm not trying to, you know, beat up on anybody or like drive something in or whatever. Now, of course, I follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit and I pay very close attention in what I'm supposed to be doing and what I'm supposed to be saying. I try to do all things according to Him and nothing on my own accord. And also, I like to keep it brief. Generally, you'll hear me say, I have a brief Bible study this evening or something like that. And it usually goes for 20, 30, sometimes 35 minutes. And it's my true intentions that I will try my best to keep it the same this evening. Okay? But if it goes to an hour, by all means, hang with me. I'm not going to be like Paul up until midnight there, burning the midnight oil. Dude falls out the window, you know, because he's dozed off. But nonetheless, I'll pray for you. Anyhow, a lot of you might already know that one of my favorite books in the entire Bible is the book of Proverbs. It's one of my favorites, and I enjoy it so much for many reasons. For the most part, it's easy reading. For other areas, there's so much gems in there that you can collect. And it's, well, I'll elaborate on it as I go forward, as I move on with this. But the book of Proverbs is completely different from any other book found in the Bible. Would you agree with me with that statement? Would you say that the book of Proverbs is not the same as any book in the New Testament, or rather, any book in the Old Testament also? It's totally different. It is made up of many to-the-point statements, or maybe I can say zingers, right? I like using that term, zinger. It's got that little zing. Many to-the-point statements. Many brief and compact gems of wisdom. And then here and there you see a little bit of humor. Here and there you see a little bit of laughter. Of course, you got to have a sense of humor to understand sometimes some of the things that are said in the book of Proverbs. But nonetheless, I consider the wisdom of Proverbs as being in a concentrated form. And what exactly do I mean by that statement? Think of it as laundry detergent. A little goes a long way. Right? Wouldn't you say? Sometimes a little 4-5-word, 6-word sentence has a significant meaning. That's the book of Proverbs for you. Or maybe just one simple verse. And from one verse to another verse, it talks about two completely different things. A little goes a long way. And ultimately, it is heavenly wisdom that is down to earth. Down to earth, heavenly wisdom. And this wisdom, if applied in the right way, will certainly help us in our every single day walk of life. If applied correctly, with fear of God, with all humility. It is a book of discipline that touches every department of our life. Every single department. The thoughts are rich. The thoughts are clear. The thoughts are crisp. And might I also add, are highly useful. I've gone through the book of Proverbs, and I have chosen a few passages that will relate to four different areas of family life. And this evening, I want to talk a little bit about family life and different areas. And I'm getting ready to introduce some of these areas right now. To be specific, I'm going to introduce four. Four areas. And the four areas are as follows. The first one that I'm going to talk about is this. Husbands in relation to their wives. The second one, wives in relations to their husbands. The third, parents in relations to their children. And fourth, children in relations to their parents. Did you get that? Husband to wife, wife to husband, parents to children, and vice versa. Children to parent. You with me? I hope you're following me online. I can't see your nod or your face, but I hope you are with me. So the first thing I mentioned is the relation, husbands in relation to their wives, right? Husband to wife. And to start out this topic, first I'm going to say this. You have to find a wife first, right? Let's start out with that first. Finding a wife, right? A lot of times, I get asked the question, and this is even before I started my full-time ministry, in the process of finding a spouse. And I have very deep convictions as far as what it takes to find a wife. I purposely had made a pact with the Lord when I was very young that I would not marry anyone that the Lord did not send, meaning not off of my own accord. And I had to wait up until I was in my mid-30s. And it was the perfect time that the Lord thought that I would, that the Lord found for me to get married. And looking back, as far as how much of a knucklehead I was most of my life, I think that was probably the best thing. Because then I'd really feel sorry for my current wife. I would. But nonetheless, I have a group of scriptures to give you. Most of them are going to come from the book of Proverbs. My first scripture for this evening is going to come from Proverbs 18:22. The word of the Lord says this, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." And I can attest to that statement. My life has changed since I've been married. And it's changed, let me just add, for the better.
Praise God.
And I'm not just saying that because my wife is in the audience. It really has. You should try her homemade granola bar. It'll change your life. I have a testament back there. 100%. And this is coming from somebody that does not like peanut butter. It's borderline, like I always tell my wife, it's borderline amazing. Oh, just borderline? No, it's amazing. But nonetheless, we're talking about finding a wife. What is a popular example in the Bible of finding a wife for someone? The first example that comes to mind, to me at least, is Isaac. Wouldn't you say? Isaac. And in the case of Isaac, the Bible says, the Bible specifically points out one thing. I'm actually going to mention two things. The first one is that the servant of Abraham did one thing. The Bible doesn't say if he was a Christian. The Bible doesn't say that he was a God-fearing man. Because in his prayer, oh, by the way, he prayed. In his prayer, he specifically says, O God of Abraham. This could potentially indicate that he might have not had that personal relationship with him that Abraham had. O God of Abraham. There is a particular story in Suriname when my parents were missionaries there. I was young. There was a sister who prayed for her child. It was Sister Kamala, I think, right? And this is before she was on fire for the Lord. This is before she was a Christian. Her prayer was, O God of the Christians, please heal my child. And the Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord healed that child. This is a Hindu woman. A Hindu woman who just about hit the wall, didn't know what else to do, was raised Hindu, but now the Word of God was exposed to her. She was reluctant at first. But nonetheless, she remembered the God of the Christians and she prayed, O God of the Christians, if you are a real God, if you are out there, heal my child. And the Lord heard the prayer and he healed her child. And the same applies now to the servant of Abraham, O God of Abraham. Hallelujah. And he prayed. And the Bible says that while he was still speaking, right, the wife came. She showed up while he was still speaking. The servant prayed, and not only did he pray, the Bible says that Isaac was meditating or otherwise was praying, was found praying. All these things are the perfect recipe in finding a wife. And when you find it, you are a blessed man. The Bible calls it a good thing. And it also says that you will obtain favor from God. Don't look at it in negative light. Unfortunately, nowadays, a lot of people have a negative view about marriage from broken homes, from divided parents, and all these things. By all means, don't think of it this way. The Lord has a blessing behind it. I want to bring another verse to your attention. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and that the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers will be judged. But I want to focus your attention right now in the beginning part of this verse. We all know that fornication is a sin. Okay? We all know that we're supposed to abstain from all these evil things, these evil conducts. But right now, I want to bring your attention right now to the positive of marriage, which is marriage is honorable among all. It's an honorable thing. Praise God. And therefore, when we seek it, when we do it under the supervision of God, by His guidance, through Him, the Bible does bless. Another verse for you. Proverbs chapter 12, verses 4. An excellent wife is the crown for her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. Hey, now. Anyways, praise God. Praise the Lord. There is no reason why we should look at marriage under a negative light. There is no reasons whatsoever. Marriage is of the Lord, and him who finds a wife sent by God is nothing but a blessing. And now the last verse that I want to elaborate right now is, on this topic right now, is Proverbs 19, verses 14. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Look at that. A prudent wife, a wise wife, that's a blessing from God. You can inherit riches, you can inherit a house, a fortune, cars, land. All of these things can come from your grandfather, your father, but a wife sent from the Lord, oh man, that's all right. A prudent wife comes from God. And ultimately, marriage is a shared commitment between two people. Right now I'm referring to a husband in relation to his wife, but it is something that must be kept between them both. Husband and wife, it is a shared commitment. But now, let me talk about wife to husband. Okay, wife in relations to husband. And before I start talking about wife in relations to husband, I'd first like to say that I did not write the book of Proverbs. I did not. Let me make that clear early on. All right? There are some pretty sharp statements found in the book of Proverbs. There are. But don't throw rocks at the preacher. I'm just saying this right away. Now, moving on. A wife, the Bible says, is not to be contentious or controversial or always nagging. Ultimately, what I'm trying to say is an antagonist. The other day my wife asked me, it was the day before yesterday, Monday. She asked me a sincere question with a sincere face, look on her face. She asked me, honey, do I nag? And I took some time to think about it. And I wisely said, I don't think so. But no, my wife does not nag. She is a blessing from God. A true blessing. Gives me no hard time. For the most part. Only when I need. But nonetheless, the Bible says that a nagging wife, a controversial wife, a contentious wife is a total no-no. That is not of the Lord. Let me bring your attention right now to Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentious of a wife are a continual dripping. Ooh, look at that. I can't help but to remember something that my own father said, that one of the worst things that can happen to a man or that a man could be caught up in is being stuck under a faucet that continuously drips on you. And it just drips and just drips. How annoying is that? And then I refer it back to this verse right here. And the contentious of a wife are a continual dripping. That is not cool. And as a matter of fact, anything that continuously just pokes at you or just kind of is a distraction. We have, my wife and I have our first child. She's 10 months. And one thing that really irritates me to a very high degree is when the car seat is behind me right here in the middle, and I have my seat the way that I like to sit, and the back of the seat rubs up against the back of my chair, and it makes this squeaking noise. And it squeaks every 5 seconds. And no matter how loud the music is or who I'm talking to, I can always hear that squeak. And it's almost like it's touching my soul. And I just have to move it. You know, it's annoying. But nonetheless, all these things is what's referred to a contentious woman. Also, Proverbs 27, 15 and 16. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Oh, man. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. Oh, man. I'm just going to leave it right here and walk away. Once again, I'm going to remind you, I did not write these words. I will not be held responsible for them. Anyways, I came across an old Arabian proverb that says this: there are three things that make our household, our house intolerable. Number one, a leaky roof, a contentious wife, and bugs. Oh man, that's something. But anyways, back to the scriptures. As it is mentioned right now on Proverbs 27, it says that as one trying to catch the wind or hold oil in his hand, right, is one that tries to conceal a contentious wife. I don't need to bring the Hebrew out and all the translations and say that this is impossible to do. It's just not a possibility. Can you contain air, hold wind in your hand, or oil, as a matter of fact? It's going to slip out. This is what the book of Proverbs talks about, a woman who is not a God-fearing woman. Can I also bring to your attention Proverbs 21:9? Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Now, okay, I know, I understand. I've been saying nothing but negative, showing nothing but negativeness. Is that even a word? Negativeness? I don't think that's a word. I just made that up. I'm going to coin that. I've been saying nothing but negative things towards a woman who likes to argue, who nags, who is the antagonist. But the book of Proverbs also does speak about a virtuous and worthy woman. And as a matter of fact, it dedicates almost an entire quarter of an entire chapter. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm only going to read the first couple of verses from this chapter. Speaking about the virtuous woman, it calls it a worthy woman, and that is Proverbs 31. We're going to cover verses 10 and 11. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. This is what the Bible speaks about, a worthy, virtuous woman. A lot of men will do just about anything for trust. Can I trust my wife? Can I trust her? There is no value that you can put on a virtuous woman. And for all the ladies that's watching this right now, take notes. Read Proverbs 31, verses 10, yes, 31, verses 10 through 31. All those verses speaks about that virtuous woman. It's great reading material. Praise God. All right, enough said about that. Let me move forward. Let's talk about parents to children. How about that? First off, it's very important for us to know that setting the right example before them is key. One thing that I have started learning as being a brand new father is that my child observes every single thing we do. Both myself and my wife. She saw just a week ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, she saw my wife blowing her food because it was still hot. And now she's blowing everything. Every time she eats, she wants to blow. She's blowing with her mouth full. Okay? Which is like the cutest thing. But nonetheless, she tries to chuckle just like we chuckle. She waves at everything moving, right? She observes every single thing. And ultimately, they are like a sponge. So before I dive into all this and that and the other thing about children, we must first understand that they run off of examples, what they see. And we are their role models. We are their examples. Can I please have Proverbs 20, verse 7? The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You see that? And another verse right now, back-to-back verses. Chapter 14, verses 26, please. Here we go. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. What a beautiful verse for every single one of us to take right now. In the place of refuge. It's one thing for us to sometimes doubt and wonder, how is it that my child is going to be? How is it that my child is going to be when they grow up? And an excellent way to look at things is for us to be God-fearing, the fear of God in all that we do. All of this will set an example for not just our children, but it could be our nephews, it could be our nieces, it could be somebody that looks up to you. I talk about it all the time. Someone who admires you, likes the way that you dress, likes the car that you drive, likes your demeanor, likes how nice you are to them. Ultimately, they'll develop a respect for you. The fear of God in you will set the example on them. Another verse that I want to talk about in relation to this is Proverbs 22, verses 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Something to take into consideration right now. Notice that we just read the word train, right? The word train in the Hebrew relates to this. Start him or her in the right direction. This is what the definition of train in this particular passage right now refers to. Start them, begin them in the right way, the right direction. And as an example, as a twig from a tree is bent, so becomes the tree. If you Google such a thing, you're going to find that people, over the course of time, within the last 20, 30, 40 years, have converted a live tree into a chair, into something, right? You see it all the time, but it takes years. You know, you bend it, and you bend it here, you bend it there, and you keep it bended, and then all of a sudden it starts taking that form. There's several photos on Google right now online where there's a tree that looks like a piece of furniture just about, and it's pretty, and it's healthy, it's not dead, it's live, it looks great. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's actually something for us to consider as far as if we're guided in the right direction, it's going to stay there. The same thing. But now, a sensitive topic that a lot of people talk about from time to time, especially in our society, in our nation, is the topic of discipline. Discipline, and specifically corrective discipline. And this is what Proverbs says. Did I put on the list Proverbs 13:24? By any chance? Yes? May I have that, please? There we go. He who spares his rod, hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Wow. Notice that the Bible does not say, spare the rod and spoil the child. The Bible doesn't say that at all. The proverb goes even further than that. It says that if you spare the rod, you actually hate your child. You hate them. And keep in mind that there are no two kids that are alike. There are no two children that are alike. Everyone is different. But nonetheless, we have, if we love our children, if we care for them, if we want the best outcome for them, we must discipline them with love. Praise God. And now, let's talk about children to parents. The Bible specifically says to hear the instruction of your father. It speaks about that in the very beginning of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says this, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornament on your head and chains around your neck. This is one of the first things that stuck with me as I started reading the book of Proverbs a while back. Everything that the Word of God says is good for me. And here it clearly says that if you want to be blessed, if you want to succeed, make sure you listen to every single thing your parents tell you, because you are going to be blessed. And King Solomon speaks about this when he was a child, when King David gave him orders, showed him the way to go. And as a result, the Lord blessed Solomon because he loved the Lord. And as a matter of fact, left him in charge in building his house. He is the wisest human being to ever walk this earth. Carnal human being. And the Bible says, no one will be like him after him. Okay? I'm not talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about a normal carnal human being born from man and woman. It's King Solomon. No one, he's the wisest man to ever walk on earth, and no one will be wiser than him. And it all started from the fear of God. And he talks about this in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. keep my commands and live. King David is ultimately saying, if you listen to the words that I'm telling you right now, you're going to be all right. You're going to see to it that all goes well. The Lord will see to it that all goes well with you. And we all know that David was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. So there's no doubt in anybody's mind that he brought up King Solomon, little Solomon, in the ways of the Lord and told him, listen very carefully to all that I say and keep them. Don't steer left or right from them. If you do that, you're going to be all right. And King Solomon was all right. And the Bible specifically says, you're going to live. You're going to live. And elsewhere in the book of Proverbs, it does speak opposite of this. And contrary, if in case you will not heed to the words of your parents, this is what's going to happen. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagle will eat it. I don't have to go into description as far as what this verse is talking about, correct? You don't want to be visited by ravens out in the middle of the field, would you? Or any black bird that comes and visits you out there, right? But it's funny how the Bible right now, before it talks about what's going to happen to them, it starts by saying, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother. This is what's going to happen. They're not going to live. Praise God. In conclusion, I just want to say this. These things, even though written thousands of years ago, are just as timely today as they were back then. All of these things apply to today's day and age. But ultimately, I want every single one of us to understand one key thing. In reflecting upon the wisdom of Solomon, we are really reflecting upon the wisdom of God. Because all these things were given to Solomon by the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, by His grace. So when we attend to all these words, we will be a blessed people. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, right now, that we could be good husbands, Lord, to our wives. That, Lord, that all the wives, Lord, that all the women right now could be good husbands, good wives, to their husbands. And Lord, may we be good parents, Lord, to our children. And I pray, Lord, that our children will heed to the words that we give them. Under the guidance, Lord, of the Holy Spirit, in fear of you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you may strengthen our families. Strengthen, Lord, our household. May you be, Lord, the center of our home, the center of our life. It all starts, Lord, with a personal relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, for all of those who are seeking a spouse right now, that, Lord, you will be faithful, just as you were faithful, Lord, to Isaac, and send them, Lord, a spouse. May, Lord, we always continue in prayer and giving you the honor and glory, Lord, for what you will send our way. A true blessing, Lord. A blessing from you. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for the instructions that are on. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that helps us, Lord, rightfully divide your holy word. We exalt your holy name, Lord. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.